1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. I'm going to talk to you today about living in the last days. How many here today believe we are living in the last days? Amen. That's right. We don't know how long the last days go, do we? Not really sure on that.
Pretty close.
Pardon me?
Pretty close.
Yeah. Agreed. 1 John 2, verses 18 through 29. Beginning to read in verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray in Jesus' name that right now every heart would be open and receptive, and every mind open to receive a planting of your word, and we just welcome you to have your way in this message. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, and that you would just put a watch on my mouth, that I would speak only the words that you've ordained for today, not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. We believe that according to Scripture, we are living in the last days. The Bible says that perilous times are coming and we need to be prepared. We need to be ready because of, first of all, the intercession factor. We need to be praying for people. Do you have an active prayer life? Are you praying for people? My friends, Christ is going to arrive one day, unannounced. He's going to surprise the earth. He's going to show up in the eastern sky when people think not, it says, according to the Lord. People will be marrying and burying and going on with life as usual, thinking that tomorrow and the next day will be just like it has always been. And Jesus Christ is going to break through the eastern sky on a stallion, and he's going to come back for his bride. And we must be ready. And we have a responsibility, because we know the truth, to be praying and sharing with people. We need to be intercessing for those loved ones, family members maybe, that don't know Christ. And if something doesn't change, they're headed for an eternity separated from us, separated from Christ, and eternity in hell. Hell is solitary confinement. I remember before I was born again, and I've not hidden the fact that I was pretty much an idiot. I've put that out there. I don't hide that. That's the guy I used to be. God is so faithful. And the moment I got born again, there was a passion, and still is after 39 years, a passion to share Christ with anyone who will listen. Because without Christ, people are going to land in hell, and it's a terrible place. It's solitary confinement. I used to say when I used to say stupid things like, well, if I go to hell, I'll have a lot of friends there. Well, while that may be true, I wouldn't be partying in hell with my friends, because part of what makes hell hell is it is solitary confinement, and it is never ending bashing of our minds, reminding us of all the times that we rejected Christ and why we are in hell. That is part of what makes hell hell, is the constant torment of knowing why we're there. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that for those of us who are born again, we can celebrate and rejoice in the fact, and that's what we're here doing. We're celebrating the salvation that we have in Christ alone, but we have a responsibility as we wait for His return, for His bride, to be interceding for the lost people that are in our circles of influence. If everyone here would pray for the lost people in their circles of influence, we would see breakthrough, we would see revival in this area. That's what I've been praying for. So the first thing is the intercession factor. Second, the soul-winning factor. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. Anyone who will listen, sharing Christ with them. Every opportunity we get, we need to be asking God to put people in our path that need to be hearing about Jesus Christ. I've been doing this for years, and I've always got people that come into my path that need to hear about Jesus. It always happens. It's not because I'm such a magnet. It's because when you pray those things, God answers them. And when you pray like that, you are praying in the will of God. How do you know that, Pastor Wayne? Because the Word of God says that... Watch my train of thought. The Word of God says that it is not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we know that we know in our knower when we are praying along those lines, interceding for people and praying for God to put people in our path that we would be able to witness to, people that we would be able to connect with. See, all of us are different, and we connect with different people. We connect with people that are more like us. So God sends people into my path that are people that have interests that are similar to mine. And all of a sudden, I can strike up a conversation. If the guy's a car guy, I'm a car guy. If the guy's a car guy or the person's a car guy, I got an inroad right there. Do you understand what I'm saying? My wife and I rode a lot of miles on motorcycle together. Well, we loved riding motorcycle, but also because of the fact that I was a pastor and rode a motorcycle and would be riding in leathers and looking rougher than I really am anymore. God has really taken me down. But looking rougher yet, because I had the garb on and still looked like a biker, I climb off my bike and somebody will strike up a conversation, and it always comes back to, with guys, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pastor. Really? Well, you don't look like a pastor. Really? What does a pastor look like? Somebody needs to explain that to me, because nobody has been able to effectively explain me. Well, I don't know, but not like you. So it opened doors to be able to witness to people because of the fact that I was riding my motorcycle and looking like I was, it opened the door. Well, same way. I've got a pretty bad street ride. I'm a car guy. I got a 66 Chevelle, makes 1,100 horse. For those of you who aren't car people, 1,100 horse don't mean anything to you. That's no different than 1 horsepower. But to the car guys, they go, 1,100 horse, and they start drooling out of the corners of their mouths. And there's a connection. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
If we pray for God to put people in our path that need Jesus, that are custom fit for us to be able to witness to, God will do it. I've been doing this ever since I got saved 39 years ago. He'll do it. And he makes it easy. All we got to do is open our mouth and share Christ. So the soul winning factor. Third, the family preparation factor. As parents and grandparents, we need to be teaching and training our children and grandchildren in the truth of God. We need to be taking them to church. We need to be talking about every opportunity we get around the supper table at a teaching moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, some of the best times, I just glanced over here, I see my youngest daughter, Amanda, sitting over here. Some of the best times that I had to be able to one-on-one witness to her was when I had to put in all of that time letting her drive in preparation for her to get her license. You remember that, huh? We had some good conversations while you're driving. Where it could impart godly wisdom. And see, because parents and grandparents are supposed to be imparting to their children and grandchildren every opportunity they get. Just in our regular conversations, just always looking and being prayed up and saying, I'm looking for an opportunity to be able to impart something to my child so that they understand that Christians aren't just weirdos that don't do the things other people do. So that they understand that it's a way of living that glorifies God and fulfills the call on our lives. So the family preparation factor. And then there's the comfort factor. When we know what the Bible says about coming events, then we have no reason to worry. We understand that Jesus is coming again. So we've got hope and we've got comfort. No matter how bad things get, and I'm here to tell you guys, things could get pretty bad before Christ returns. And to be honest with you, it's way worse already right now than what I thought I would ever see in my lifetime. Things have rapidly gotten worse. People are getting further and further away from God. People have totally lost all biblical morality. Yeah. Anything goes today. Am I telling the truth? So I don't know how bad it's going to get, but it could get pretty bad. And God has called us to be set apart, to come out from among them. That doesn't mean what all of us now, we'll go buy a place and we'll go live in a commune. How can we witness to anybody that is lost if we're all living together in a commune? Right? So that's not what he meant by come out from among them. He meant come out from among them and live out biblical morality. Live out your faith. Live for Christ, the one that you profess. I don't think it's any accident. You know, when that word was coming forth and it was coming through me by the Spirit of God that came through tongue and interpretation, you guys didn't know, but I knew what the word was going to be today. And I was like, oh, Lord, you're weaving this into the word that you put on my heart for today. Do you see it? I want to back up and I've had a stirring going on in me all morning. I wasn't positive what was going on, but I want to talk about the intercession factor. We have far, far more powerful traits that we should have as believers than most of us are operating in. There is much more power available to us than we are operating in, most people as believers. Much more power available. We haven't scratched the surface of the power that is available through the Holy Spirit indwelling us and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. A couple weeks ago, the Lord just put the brakes on my message, and I got up here and I shared my testimony, some key points of it. But guess what? I'm the pastor, and I have a pretty crazy testimony. You only got a fraction of it because it would take days for me to share everything. But I'm the pastor. I'm not the only one that has a testimony in this church. Of the workings of God. All of you have your own testimony. And it's powerful. And you can lead people in droves to Jesus Christ sharing your testimony. Your testimony is unique. Mine is unique. But every one of your testimonies is unique as well. I think of Brother John Murphy sitting back there. I was thinking in the middle of the night when I woke up, I was thinking about John and Mary and how long I've known them. And I was praying for them. And see, because I've known them 47 years, as near as I can decipher. 47 years ago. I met John and Mary. I was part of their wedding. How many years has that been, guys?
43 years?
Jeremy said you better get it right. Why did I bring that up? Because when you know someone that long, and you see the things, because you're doing life together, you see the things over the years that have happened in their lives. And then it came to the point where John came walking into this church for the first time. And then after that, Mary along with him. They both got born again. Intercession, guys, and our lives being weaved together. What we're talking about here. John, I know this is impromptu. I haven't even talked to you about this. Will you come up here? I didn't pump him to say anything, all right? I didn't prime him up. What's on my heart, John, is to light this mic up, please. What's on my heart, John, is to just share from your testimony whatever the Spirit of God brings up right now.
Okay.
Yours and Mary's, I should say.
Back in 2007, I've known him for a long time at Eagle Food Store. And I know Wayne from his BC days. So I know he's the real deal when he had his road to Max Smackdown. And anyway, about 2000, well, my son, back in the days when he was about 5 years old, we were up in Minnesota, and we were fishing, and my son had these boots called dingo boots he wore. And he fell and hit his head, and we thought nothing of it, he was just a clumsy kid. And we were driving home from Minnesota, and we were right about 20 miles outside of La Crosse. And he started going in convulsions and having seizures. And back then we didn't have cell phones. We had CB, so I got on Channel 9, which is emergency's channel, and got a hold of the highway patrolman, and he escorted us in about, we're going about 90 miles an hour. And we did a bunch of tests overnight, and they couldn't find nothing, but they said he developed epilepsy from the fall. Well, me and Wayne paths kept crossing, and we stopped over his gas station. We started talking, and I told him what happened, and he said, "Murph, I can pray over him." So he says, got the oil out, anointed him, and from that day on, he never had a seizure the rest of his life. And that was just one. And then, there was something else that happened, and he was standing outside the store one time, and I was about this tall, and he stood about this tall, and he looked at me, and it just went, I was looking up, and oh boy, I'm in trouble, and he knew, and he said, "Don't do it, Murph. Don't do it." And I almost lost my marriage or whatever, but this man interceded. And that was another time our paths crossed. And another time, it all came to a head, because in my spirit, I wanted to break away from the Catholic faith. And my grandmother, rest her soul, told me about the Bible stories back in the day. It just kind of stirred in me, and I just couldn't break away. But 2007, I think it was, my dad passed away suddenly, and I won't go into detail with that, but it really hit me hard, really hard, because it was sudden. And my dad and I didn't get along much. You know, we didn't see eye to eye to each other, you know. But the day I was going to go into service, I got drafted. He sat me down and told me the things to look out for, to expect in the military. From that day on, we became the best of friends. I knew he loved me because he cared for me, because I knew it was during Vietnam. And but we became trusting friends, real close friends. And when he died that night, I kid you not, I just crumbled, you know, just like a kid. It was so sudden, because of the fact that I knew my mom had Alzheimer's then. I knew there was going to be a lot of responsibility. And a month later, my wife, Mary, suddenly she had a stroke. I got a call from work saying, "You better come and get your wife." Well, I knew that something had to be back for her to call, you know, have come get her from work. And I picked her up, and I said, "My gee, Mary, I'm not a doctor, but I think you're having a stroke." So we get her up to the hospital, or we took her to the hospital, and they checked her out and said, "Well, you just have a minor flu or something like that, or just go home and see your doctor Monday." So Tuesday, I think Monday it was, her symptoms got worse. Her eyes, she couldn't see. And we went to Dr. Robinson, I think it was, and he looked at her and just took her up to the hospital right away. This is when everything really started coming down fast. And we took her up the fourth floor, and they said that she had a stroke. And it was a pretty bad one because it was a back and stem of her brain. They couldn't do nothing with it. So I called our brothers and sisters. I called my sons and said, we're going to get up to the hospital. They're going to rush her out to Iowa City. Well, that was a month after my dad died, so I really didn't have time to, grieve for my father, thank you. And I knew I had just go and run with it, you know, because my mom had Alzheimer's. All this responsibility was on my shoulders, and I was running a business on top of it. Well, when we got out to the hospital in Iowa City, I felt pretty helpless. They said there's nothing they can do for her, operate. And at that time, I had to just get out of that room and just start praying and be by myself. This is where it really happens fast. The minute I get out of that hallway, out in the hallway, there's Wayne and there's Mary. Out of the sky blue. Same time. They were at the nurse's station, and Wayne says, there's the guy right there. He knew what he came out for. He didn't know. But right there at that instant time, it was perfect timing. And we gave each other a big hug, and I told Wayne, we better stop this. They'll think there's something going. I know what I'm doing. Anyway, we started talking about some of the stupid stuff we did back in the days. And it was so uplifting. He came in there and he prayed over. And time went on, maybe a week or two, maybe 2 weeks. I was running back and forth from Iowa City because I was taking care of my mother too. And my son helped a lot, my son Andy, who was born again here in this church. And I went out, Wayne came out again, it was like, maybe 2-3 weeks later. And like I say, I wish I had that picture, but there was every machine to keep my wife alive in that room. There wasn't much hope for her. She had a feeding tube, she had a trach. And Wayne came out again. And this is where he was really, he was fired up. He just said, everybody just believe, get out. He says, just get out. He came over and he laid hands on her and he just prayed. And I went home. And the next day, I get this phone call. And it was a nurse. And the surgeon, nurse says, you want to talk to your wife, Mr. Murphy? I said, get out of here. No way. I thought it was a prank. He says, no, Mr. Murphy, don't hang up. This is the nurse from Iowa City. I says, you want to talk to your wife? I said, really? And I couldn't believe it. And here it is. She couldn't talk. She couldn't do nothing. And I don't know if all you old timers that know about Bread, the song Bread Everything, that song. That's what I used to play every day when I went back and forth to Iowa City, everything, because I would give up everything I had, because you don't know until you lose it. And it was that close. And this guy was a lightning rod, right here. And it was instantaneous. She gained all her functions back, talking, seeing.
Praise the Lord.
And it was, we had to go through the motions for a couple weeks. You had to go to Genesis, I think, to just make sure everything worked fine, you know. I mean, there was no hope. I mean, I cannot describe to you people all the machines in there to keep her alive that day. But I wasn't mad at God. I just prayed. And then, like I say, the intercession of prayer, it was just overwhelming because I saw it firsthand, and I shared this testimony. In fact, there's not enough time to share it, but it's just being a personal trainer, I got back into training again. This is a short story, but God was moving there too, because I was always helping people in this too, besides training people. But, it's just amazing how I know what intercession does and what he's done, God has done through him to do this. And I cannot describe to you what it just perspired. Also, my grandson, Colton, he was born again here too. First time I didn't let him go up because I thought he was playing me. He kept going like this, and I kept going like this. Because he was out here reading his Bible with us, everybody in church, and I kept, you know, he claimed to be home, and I go, nope. He'd be out in the hallway or out in the aisle there praying, and okay, he's giving me a, you know, he's giving me a line. But the second time I couldn't hold him back. And the seed was planted in him too. But all I can say is I know what God can do, and I know,
amen,
what miracles is sitting back there in the corner of the church.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Mary, are you open to sharing what you experienced while that was all happening in Iowa City? Are you open to that? If you don't want to, I'll be right here supporting her. Her perspective is, there is huge power in intercession. That's what I want you to understand.
I was going to hell. I smelled smoke. And, I worked at Walmart, and I had a dream that, I don't know if it was like it was in a spaceship type thing. I felt like I was just kind of moving in space. There was one gal at work, and there was a bunch of people that were going to commit suicide. And I told, pray to God that I didn't want to go there because I didn't see my dad's eye. My dad had passed away a few years before that. And he told me if I brought people to him, he let me go back. And he did. I'm here live to tell it, buddy.
Amen.
And thanks for Pastor Wayne coming out, praying over me, and all the people here at church that prayed for me too. So, and I just smelled smoke, and he lets you come back if you pray.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. See, everybody's got a testimony. Yeah. And it's valuable to all of us. God is always doing so much. And if we would just give him the glory, hard to move on from that. First major point I want to look at, that was only the opening. There will be a part two to this. We're not going to get finished. And you know what? That's okay. God is being glorified in this house. Amen? First major point is that exhortation to be awake. The Old Testament, the former time, prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. After the death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus, we entered into a period of time called the last time, the church age. The church age is the age of the church ever since Christ ascended on high, and until he returns is known as the church age. And it's referred to in Scripture as the last time. Not the last days, the last time. Okay? The rapture of the church is imminent. We're no longer waiting for the fulfillment of a sign or a prophecy. The rapture could happen at any time. It's why I was exhorting you in the opening of this message to be ready. I know it's why God brought the tongue and interpretation he did. He wants us to be ready for his return. We don't know the day or hour. No one does. And my friends, if anybody tells you that they know when Christ is going to return, run. Because they're deceivers. No one knows the day or the hour. We can know the season. And I think we are all sensing the season, like we were talking about earlier. That we are in the season of Christ's return. That's as much as we can know. Even Jesus doesn't know the day or hour according to the Word of God. Only the Father. That is the one thing that the Father has withheld from the Son. That one thing only is when he will return for his bride. That's it. That one thing. Everything else that the Father knows, the Son knows. Every other thing. Every detail. But not when he will return. When the trumpet blows, when the Father says now, that's when Jesus will return on that stallion I mentioned earlier. And he'll appear in the eastern sky. And the graves will open. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive in Christ will rise and meet them in the air. What a time, what a time, what a time that will be, guys. We are to be expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus at any moment. See, if we are focused on that, then that will compel us to live a more godly life because we don't know when he's going to return. Some of the things that we do that we know that God is not real pleased with, we don't really want him to return when we're in the middle of something like that. Amen? Am I speaking the truth? Oh, don't come then. But please don't return when I'm having an attitude and I'm yelling at my husband. Please don't return when I'm copping an attitude and I'm yelling at my wife. Don't return then. I don't want to be in unforgiveness when you return. Does that make sense to somebody? First Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serving the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." Remember recently when I was preaching, I clarified there is a difference, a distinct difference between the wrath of God and the judgment of God. The judgment of God comes forth to cause people to be convicted and turn back to God. Judgment of God is an act of love. It's Him reaching out to His people and causing us to be uncomfortable so that in our sin, so that we will turn back to Him. Does that make sense to you? The wrath of God is completely different. The wrath of God is the unhaltered, unhindered anger of God going forth from the throne of God. And as I've said before, when the wrath of God is unleashed, people get dead. Every time throughout the Word of God, when God's wrath went forth, people got dead. Because it was too late. Now, let's think about what we just read in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10. Verse 10 says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead." And He clarifies who? Jesus. Paul says, let me tell you again who. Jesus. Just in case you forgot, His name is Jesus. Who rescues us from the coming wrath. God's true bride, Jesus' true bride, will not go through the wrath. That is why the rapture takes place. To take the true believers, the true children of God, the true bride of Christ, out before the wrath of God is unleashed on the earth. It would be a violation of God's character to believe that He would unleash His wrath on His true people. He won't do it. But He brings judgment on His people. We as a nation are under judgment right now. And that's why I tell you, I don't know how much harder things could get, but this I know. It will continue to get harder until people start repenting.
Yes.
See, the judgment of the Lord begins in the house of the Lord. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The judgment of the Lord begins in the house of the Lord. As the shepherd of this flock, as the pastor, it's my heart to prepare all of you, every single one, every man, woman, and child, for the return of Christ, because I want us all to go. I was at a conference one time years ago, it was a pastor's conference, and we were talking about this, and there had been some teaching about this in the morning session, and we were eating lunch, and one of the pastors on the other side of the table said to me, when we were talking, and he said to me, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, my church will be the first ones up to meet the Lord in the air." I said, "Well, that's kind of prideful to say that." He said, "No, you don't understand what I'm saying. The Word of God says that the dead in Christ will rise first." I'm thinking he was pastoring a pretty dead church. Then I got it. The light bulbs went, boop, 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 boop. Oh, okay, I get it. I guess I wasn't prideful. Lord, help me. I'm not interested in pastoring one of them churches that's that dead. Jesus is coming to rescue us from the coming wrath. It doesn't say there might be a coming wrath. It says to rescue us from the coming wrath. Wrath is coming on the earth. And we need to warn people so that they can escape it, not accepting Jesus only as an escapist, but as their Lord and Savior. sharing the love of Christ. It doesn't matter what a person has done. God will receive all of us. Thank God for that. Because I'm sure not proud of a lot of the things I did in my past. I was one crazy cat. I'm serious. One time when we were at Over at Eagle, I was out on lunch hour in the dark, 2 o'clock in the morning, got on my motorcycle and was riding wheelies back and forth across the parking lot at Eagle Foods. Murph and a couple other guys were in the back of a pickup truck with a topper on it, shooting clay birds out of a clay bird shooter. I didn't know what they were doing. All of a sudden, I started seeing stuff flying by me. Ooh, I'm in a wheelie, okay? I'm riding a wheelie. Got that baby stood up. I'm going to turn around, right back again, riding that thing. And these guys are laughing their heads off. They're shooting clay birds at me. Probably would have rolled me if it hit me. Truth or not, Murph?
True.
We were crazy. God said, I want you to be mine. 39 years ago, he said, I want you to be mine. Don't remember how many years ago it's been for John and Mary, but he said, I want you to be mine. And he orchestrated things so that they come to the place where I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And all of you have your own testimony. It's powerful. It's no less powerful because it's not like mine, or it's not like John's, or it's not like Mary. You have a testimony. If you are in Christ, you have a testimony, and it's powerful for people to hear. So share it. Share it with anybody that will listen. Because it brings glory to God every time we share His goodness. God was not done with Mary Murphy. That's why she is still here today, because He's using her. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you eagerly waiting for your Savior to return? I am, and I have been for a long time. That's my hope. I tell you what, the longer things go and the worse things get, the more insecurity there is in this world, the more this is not my home. I'm looking to what's in the future. Glory. Glory. So living in the last days, we've got to keep our perspectives right. Our citizenship, if we are born again, is in heaven. Unfortunately, for people who are not born again, their citizenship is in hell. See, if the one is true reality, then the other one is also true reality. But people don't like to hear that today. Oh, don't tell me that stuff. Our God is a God of love. Yes, He is. He'll love you all the way to hell. That is the reality of it. See, if you come to church, you don't need a reality show. We got it going on right here. What we got going on in church today, this is reality, guys. We don't need a reality show on TV. I get enough reality every day walking with Jesus. First Corinthians 1 verse 7 says, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. If we are walking in Christ and allowing Him to take us over and allowing His gifts to flow through us, then we lack no spiritual gift. See, like I said earlier, we have a lot more power indwelling us than we are using. We have access to a lot more power than most of us are willing to admit. It's just a matter of submitting to God and allowing His power to flow through us, manifest in the gifts of the Spirit. It makes me nuts. You go to the wrong denomination, you go to the wrong church, and they try to cover up the gifts, try to say that the gifts aren't for today, that the gifts passed away. I'm here to tell you, if you come from a place like that, you've been lied to. For 39 years, I've been operating the gifts of the Spirit. I could tell you stories of experiences I've had that would make your hair stand on end. And that's the absolute truth. My family knows. Because they've walked through a lot of it with me. I have seen demonic things take place that you have a hard time believing. I'll tell you what. I went into a place one time where there was demonic activity. They called me to come. And when I walked in the door, there was a 6'8 guy that weighed about 400 pounds that was being drug across the floor by a demon and picked him up and had his feet off the floor and had him up against the wall. And you could see nothing except the fingers here. You could see that his throat was pushed in. He could not speak. Some of you might be looking at me right now and saying, he's telling stories now. Yeah, I'm telling true stories. I got no reason to lie about that to anybody. And that house was right here in Clinton, Iowa. So I know what the other side is. Now, I told you that, but let me tell you something. A little bit later, when I got into some hell-shaking prayer and invoked the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, things started changing. Because greater is He that is in me, greater is He that is in you, than he that is in this world. Amen. Greater is Christ than anything that can come against us. Can I go another 5 minutes?
Yes.
All right, I'll roll with it then.
I got all day.
Praise God for that. I just want to get to a good point to break so that next week, Lord willing, we can pick up where we left off. I got two more scriptures. First one is Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. Says, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. That is some mighty good news, guys. That is some awesome news. There is a whole lot to be said in Scripture. There is a lot that is said in Scripture about Christ's return. And there is plenty that is said in Scripture about being prepared. Remember, the main point of this section of the message we're in right now was be awake. Are you awake? If you've been listening to the testimonies today, even the testimony of me walking into that house, and I wasn't kidding, there was a guy that was 6'8 and 400 pounds that was being drugged across the floor by a demon, and you could see the finger marks in his throat. I wasn't kidding. The Murphy's testimony. These testimonies today, it's real, guys. God is preparing us for His return. Are you letting Him have His way in your life? destined for man once to die and after that to face judgment. Now in that case, the judgment it's talking about is being judged for the things that have been done in the body, is what it says in Scripture. That particular judgment is a judgment of the things that were done in the body after we taste death. There is no more chance for repentance at that point. Our destiny is sealed at that point. That's some reality, isn't it? No turning back. The course we chose then, there's no changing. Our destiny is sealed at that point. Once we taste death. There absolutely is not, never has been, never will be, a holding tank for people that weren't quite ready. There is no purgatory. I can't find that doctrine in Scripture. There is absolutely no purgatory. So you can't pray loved ones out of hell. You can't buy them out of hell either. And there's a reason I'm telling you that. And I don't care how many times you water the grave. It's not going to work. Because their destiny is sealed. Last scripture, Titus 2, 11 through 13. Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, what that comes down to is we should not spend too much time wasting our time looking for a sign. We need to be looking for Jesus. So here it is again. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. God calls His people to be sanctified, to be set apart from the people that are living in this world in the sense that they're living in all of the doctrine and all of the sin and godlessness of this world. We all need to adopt a biblical morality, guys. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? We all need to adopt a biblical morality. Not that our actions save us, but our actions confirm whether we are truly in Christ or not. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. So I'm a pastor. I'm just a pastor. I'm an under-shepherd under Christ, the head. Right? And I don't have the authority to judge anyone. That's Jesus' job. But I'm a fruit inspector. Because as a shepherd, I need to be able to discern the fruit in people's lives. When people come and tell me they're born-again believers in Christ, and I look at their lives, and they're living exactly the way that all the rest of the people are out in the world, there's something wrong with their testimony. That's the reality of it. When they tell me this, and this is the way they're living, it's like, okay, something's bogus with this. Right? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. That's what it says about us if we're in Christ. Word of God don't lie, does it?
No.
It also says in the Word in 1 John that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. It's impossible for God to lie. There's no lies in God's Word. And I'll tell you another thing. No person, no matter how slick they are and how good they are at hiding things, is able to hide from God. When sin entered the earth, Adam and Eve tried to hide behind fig leaves. But they were still standing naked before God. And so are we. Every one of us. Fig leaf don't work. Just ain't gonna get it. Did you guys get something out of this today? I gotta quit. Did you get this?
Yes.
You enjoying this?
Yes.
Living in the last days. It's not just waiting, just, oh, we're going to float around on a cloud someday and getting all weird. That's not what it's about. God's got a call on our lives, and we need to live in the last days the way He's called us to live. All right, let's stand. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank You for taking over this service today. I thank You, Lord, for prompting me to have John and Mary come up and share a little bit of their testimony. Father, thank You for them, their openness and their willingness and the great job that they did sharing You, Lord God, a testimony of Your workings. We give You praise for that. And now as we leave this place, keep us safe. Bring us back safely next weekend so we can continue this message and continue to grow and in You and to learn of You and go deeper in You. Lord, have Your way in us. Go with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love You.